Tonight in Luke chapter 24, we'll read the passage that begins at verse 25 down through verse 32. So we'll read responsibly. I'll read on verse 25. If you would, please join me on verse 26 and every other verse down through verse 32 here tonight in Luke chapter 24. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?
As I mentioned this morning, tonight's message is simply entitled, Is it cold in here, or is it just me? It's funny, when I said that this morning, you should have seen everybody looking at each other. Are you cold? Are you cold? Are you cold? But it's actually just a sermon title. I love this passage of Scripture. I really do. And interesting thing, years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was now. I probably have to go back and look in my notes because, you know, we've been here long enough now that I can say many years ago because we have been here many years. Which is a blessing to us, that's for sure. And I remember many years ago reading this passage, and the Bible says that Jesus started at Moses and worked his way through the prophets. And I got curious, what are all those scriptures? That's not going to be tonight's message. But I remember looking up every scripture from Moses all the way through the prophets to where Jesus quoted those verses, those passages to these disciples. And it was quite enlightening. It was quite a lot of verses, quite a number of things that Jesus was referring to. But I love this passage, and what I want us to do in this particular message, because of the title, Is It Cold in Here or Is It Just Me? What I want to do is I want us to see how a cold heart affects everything that we do. A cold heart. We all have them from time to time. The story we just read is a familiar one, and Jesus had been crucified 3 days ago and had now been resurrected from the tomb, and now God, praise God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near because we serve a living and a risen Savior. Two disciples had journeyed from Jerusalem about 6 miles on the road, which would take them to a village that was called Emmaus. And we read all that in the passage here. And as they talked to each other, they talked about about the Lord Jesus and all things that had happened. And they were so hurt and they were so disappointed because the Savior had been put to death. They talked about His life. They talked about His ministry. They talked about His crucifixion. And now, think about this, He'd been resurrected from the dead just as He had promised that He would. And Jesus met them on that road. Can you even imagine what that must have been like? You say, well, they didn't know it was Him. Still yet, can you imagine what that would have been like? And of course, He met them on that road and spoke to them personally. And at first, they did not recognize that it was the Lord Jesus. One might say it was because Jesus was beaten so severely that He did not resemble a human being. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that their eyes were holding, which means that Jesus kept them from seeing. He did it on purpose. And He went ahead and talked with them. The Bible says in Luke 24, look at verse 16, it says, But their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. So that's something Jesus did. It wasn't a matter of how He physically looked. That may have had a little bit to do with it. I don't know. But the Bible says that the reason they didn't recognize them is because their eyes were holding. In other words, Jesus did it. And they were disappointed that Jesus had died, of course. And they wanted Jesus to fulfill the promises He had made right then of the kingdom, of setting up His kingdom. And there's a number of references in the New Testament about that because they took His prophecy of rebuilding the kingdom or setting up his kingdom like it was going to happen right now. But it wasn't supposed to happen right now. It was going to happen at a later time. But they were very disappointed, and they wanted Jesus to redeem Israel right then, just as he had promised that he would do. It just wasn't going to be at that time. Well, after he explained that what Moses and the prophets had written really was true and that Jesus had to die, he opened their eyes and they knew it was him. To me, this is just one of the most amazing stories in the New Testament. And I don't know if you rate stories in the New Testament like I do, but some of them are just more amazing to me than others. Because they're scripture, they're all amazing. But there are some stories in the Bible that just stand out to me. This is one of them. And I love this story. He opened their eyes, and then for the first time on that day, they saw that it was Jesus, and they understood that Jesus was alive. Thank God for a living Savior. Look with me, if you would please, at verses 31 and 32. Where the Word of God says of the disciples, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Wow. Didn't open up any of the books. He opened up the Scriptures. And those Scriptures that he opened up are the ones that we sometimes don't like reading through. All the way from the books of Moses, all five books of Moses, all the way through all the prophets and all that. And Jesus had just expounded to them every single passage in the Bible that was about him, you see. And Jesus is not just in the New Testament. Jesus is very much in the Old Testament. I mean, very much in the Old Testament. You've heard sermons, and maybe you haven't. I know I preached one. Jesus in every book of the Bible. And we understand that Jesus is the main subject of the entire Word of God. It's all about the Lord Jesus. When you think about in the beginning, you think about how in the beginning God created. That included Jesus, because the words there are including the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You get into the New Testament, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that talk there, Jesus was there. And every place in the Word of God, there is Jesus, and Jesus showed them every scripture that had to do with him. Well, I wish some preachers would understand that today. There are some believers today, and I know there are because I've had them talk to me or I've read what they've written, but they think because we are simply a New Testament Bible preaching church that we don't have anything to do with the Old Testament. That's silly. Even the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, and he said, all those Old Testament stories back yonder in the Old Testament, he said, they're there for our example. In other words, they are pertinent to us yet even today. When I think about this, when I understand this, it says here that there are many things that can cause our hearts to grow cold to the things of the Lord. And I know some of us have been like the Apostle Peter saying, oh, I'll never deny you and my heart will never get cold and I'm never going to do this and I'm never going to deny my church family. I'm never going to deny you. No, no, no. And Jesus says, now, wait a minute, Peter, before the sun comes up, you'll deny me three times. And I got news for us. The best of Christians can become cold-hearted. I've often, I say jokingly, but it's not really a joke, sung cold-hearted, hard-hearted, unfaithful, disloyal, changing the words to a great old hymn. But that happens to every believer at one time or another. I've never known anyone not to have a cold heart at times, and neither have you. And I think not. You don't know anybody like that. And you're not the exception to the rule either. We're all in that same boat. It is a frightening thing to wake up and come to the realization that our hearts have cooled off concerning the things of the Lord. When I think about that, there's got to be a remedy. There has to be something in the Bible that's going to help us out. I believe part of the answer is found here in our opening passage. But let me just start off with an illustration. I've given the illustration before many, many years ago, but tonight it just is appropriate. Robin and I have been in youth ministry for many, many years before we got into the pastorate. In fact, I was assistant pastor and a youth director for 11 years before we became pastor here for the past 36 and a half years. We were sitting in our house one day and I got a phone call from one of our teenagers that was now in college and was having a real difficult time spiritually. And her first question to me was, "Pastor Dan, what's wrong with me?" And you don't start making stuff up. They were in tears, okay? And I said, "Tell me what's going on." Says, I get up every morning and I read my Bible. And I think they said for an hour. How many in this room have read their Bibles for an hour today? Or even this last week, total? And I said, and I spend this much time in prayer every single morning. And I got to thinking, you know, that's a lot of time in prayer. And when I got to thinking about a lot of believers today, I'm sure she spent more time in her Bible and in prayer than many believers do today. There's already something wrong with this conversation, okay? And she said, "And I don't understand." She said, "My heart is so cold. And I am so cold to the Lord." And in tears. And she said, "What's wrong with me?" And then she said, "I need you just to hit me upside of the head," which I would never do, leastways not at this time. And I wouldn't do that. And I let her sob for a little bit. And she did. Her heart was really broken. And, you know, that shows you something about her spirituality right there. Her heart was broken over the way that she was cold-hearted, she thought, anyway. So think about this situation for a moment. I read my Bible for an hour, and I think it was an hour in prayer. I'm not sure on that, but I know it was a long time. And cold-hearted. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that situation? In the Bible, on the knees, cold heart. Something wrong. Say, "Well, what did you tell her to do, preacher?" I'm going to tell you what I told her to do. Part of it's in the message tonight. And I said to her, I said, "Let me tell you what you need to do." I said, "Do you have a quiet place where you can go and just be by yourself?" And she's, "Yes." And I said, "Where you can be undisturbed. Nobody will come near you." She said, "Yes," in tears. I said, "I want you to go to that place." I said, "God is your father." And I said, "I want you to crawl up into your daddy's lap and I just want you to pour your heart out to him. Just pour your heart out. That's all. Nothing else. Don't give him a list of prayer requests. Don't share blessings with God or anything like that." I said, "Just talk to him." And, "Okay, Pastor Dan, I will." Well, I wasn't, but a little while later, I received a card in the mail, and all it said was, "Thanks for the..." I told her, I said, "You don't need me to hit you in the head. You just need a nudge. That's all you need." She wrote me a card, and all it said was, "Thanks for the nudge. Thanks for the nudge." I find it interesting that we look on all the wrong places to warm our hearts up, and I think the answer is in the Word of God. But that's where we fail, because many do not know where these places are in the Bible. But listen carefully. First of all, I'm going to give you part of the advice that I gave to this young lady, who, by the way, now is a fully grown adult and was married to a pastor for a long time. He's now passed away. And the interesting thing is, serving the Lord as they did and how blessed they were. Number one, if you're taking enumerated notes, number one, talk to Jesus. Okay? Luke 14:32. And look what it says. See, I think the answer is here. We kind of overlook it because we know this is a story in the Bible. But it's a true story, something that actually happened. And notice what it says in Luke 14:32. It says, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" Conversation. What was this conversation? He quoted a bunch of Bible verses to them. What was this conversation? Probably a lot of other things as well. And there are other times he would say, "Don't be afraid, it's just me." And he would speak words of comfort to them, which was good. You see, prayer is still one of the best heart warmers in the entire world. It honestly is. An interesting thing, pour out your heart to him when you're cold-hearted. And when these two disciples spoke to Jesus, the Bible says their hearts, their desires, their wills, their love for the Lord, it all burned, you see. Did not our hearts burn within us? They're not talking about a physical cardia. They're not talking about a physical muscle heart in their chest. They're talking about their emotions and their wills and all that. Everything just got fired up when they spoke to Jesus. But the key was, they were talking together and speaking to one another, and they were consumed with the fire for Jesus, you see. They just spent some time talking to him. And when a Christian begins to backslide, it's usually in their lives, their prayer life, that suffers first. How many times through the years have I said this? Don't count. I might be disappointed when you tell me how many times I've repeated myself. But you can take the prayer life of the average Christian and the above average Christian, the entire prayer life, wad it up in a ball and stick it in your eye and you'd never feel it. Why? Because people don't pray. See, why doesn't God answer people's prayers? The number one reason is not some sin in their lives. It's not some point of rebellion. It's the fact that they simply do not pray, you see. It is the thing that no one else can see, prayer, because it's private. Many a Christian serves the Lord without a prayer life, and no one knows. No one has any idea, because your prayer life is not something that is public to everyone. Your prayer life is something that is private between you and the Lord. And I know I'll stand in a pulpit and I'll pray, or I'll have Brother Penn pray, or I'll have one of our men pray, or whatever it might be. Yes, those things are true. But my personal prayer life, that's between me and Jesus. And if I'm not doing it, nobody knows. You see, nobody knows. Why? Because that's between me and Him, not between me and you or anyone else. So first of all, spend some time talking to the Lord. As I said to this young lady, God bless her heart, I said, get to that quiet place where no one can see you and be with you, where no one can hear you. And I said, crawl up into your daddy's lap and just talk to him and just pour your heart out to him. That's all you got to do. And she did. How else can you warm up a cold heart? Number two. Read the Word of God. He said, oh, Pastor, I knew you were going to say that. All right, then, are we doing it? Read the Word of God. Look what it says in Jeremiah. I love this. Jeremiah 23:29. The first time I ever heard this verse preached on, it was Dr. Curtis Hudson. It was in Rosemont, Minnesota. It was in September or October of 1974, and he preached on this verse, where Jeremiah writes and says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I'll never forget his illustrations that he gave. He said he had and he was from the South, so he talked with a Southern accent. And he said, I had a neighbor. Instead of a neighbor, he had a neighbor. He said, and that neighbor had a hammer. And he said, every morning that neighbor would get up and he was using his hammer to build something. And he'd go, bang, bang, just constantly like that. And then he started talking about the power of a hammer. He said, you take a hammer and you hit a rock with it, that rock's not going to break. But you keep hitting that same rock with that same hammer over and over again. And he said, that rock is going to break. And this was the verse that he used. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer, as he said, that breaketh the rock in pieces. One of the strongest illustrations, I'll never forget him preaching that. It was just a marvelous message that he brought about the power of the Word of God to shatter a broken heart into pieces so that it can be healed, or how it can take a hardened heart of an individual and break it so that it can become usable and pliable. And the Word of God is not like just any other book. It's not like any other booklet. It's not like a newspaper. It's not like a novel. It's not like fiction or anything else. No, it's not. It's God's book. It is the Word of God, and it is alive. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You know the verse. You might even have it memorized, but it says, for the Word of God is quick. It's alive, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God and what it can do. Same man, Curtis Hudson, said, you just use the Bible when you're witnessing. He said, it'll get through to people. It'll change people. Chuck Colson of the Nixon era, you all remember the name. I've talked about this before. But he had spoken in a huge stadium. And when he walked out, and there were just thousands of people there, and when he was leaving, a number of young people looked at him and laughed at him and made fun of him because he was a preacher. All he did was turn around and look at the crowd of young people, and he says, the wages of sin is death. That's all he said. He didn't say anything else. He didn't say Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. No, he just turned around, pointed at him, and said, the wages of sin is death. He said it was 6 months later he got a letter from one of those young people who said, I could not get that thought out of my mind. The young person ended up getting saved, and God had changed his life. All because he quoted a simple verse. A simple verse, Romans 6:23. Didn't even put an address on it. Didn't even say where it was found. He just simply said, the wages of sin is death. And by the way, that's an Old Testament principle. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Said it twice in the book of Ezekiel. Very amazing. You say that you have tried reading the Word of God and it doesn't work. Well, like I said this morning many times, I choose to believe what the Word of God says. Let God be true, but every man a liar. It's really funny. You give some people biblical advice. And listen, I can say this because I've done it and I've heard it, okay? It's part of my ministry over the years. They'll say, well, what should I do? And I say, well, this is what the Word of God says. Try that. And here's what has been said to me many times. Oh, I tried that and it doesn't work. Really? Is the problem with what God said, or is the problem with the person who said they tried it and it did not work? I think the problem was with the person and not with God. And very interesting here. And again, I've used the illustration about Tom Malone many times. Many of you have no idea who Dr. Tom Malone is. Pastored, I believe it was in Michigan, and I was there for a long time. Very influential and independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches and all that. Powerful man of God for many, many years. President of a Bible college. And when a student asked him one day how much Bible he would read every day, he simply turned to the student and he said, I read the Bible until my heart burns. And I thought, wow, what a powerful statement. I read the Bible until my heart burns. Am I against reading through your Bible every year? No. Brother Penn mentioned this morning in Sunday school, I believe it was George Mueller, read his Bible through four times a year. That's about 12 chapters a day, by the way, in case you're wondering. I know one pastor, he would read the Bible through once a month. That's what he did. I think he still does it. Reading the Bible through one time a month, 66 books, all those verses. Reading the Bible through every month, 12 times a year. Can you imagine that? But what I'm simply saying is this. I think Bible reading schedules are great. I really do. I promote them. I've given you ones on Psalms. I've given you one on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've given you Proverbs. I've given you all these different ones where you can follow it. But I just want to say right now, it's not how much Bible you read. It's how much Bible you apply when you're reading that Word of God. And some days it might be one verse, and other days it might be one chapter, and other days it might be an entire section of Scripture. But it's important that it affects your life. You see, that's the important thing. And if you want to read through your Bible every year, that's great. Do it. Please. Have at it. I've recommended reading Psalms through once a month, 150 chapters, five Psalms a day. Read one and skip 30, and then so it'll be 130, and then skip 30 again, and 60, and 90, and 120, and all that. And then you get down to the end, and you've read the book of Psalms all the way through once a month for an entire year. Can you imagine what that would be like? Reading about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus was only two chapters a day, every day. Amazing. But then again, there's an awful lot of people that start out on a Bible reading schedule, and they quit when they got to some of the harder books. They got to Deuteronomy or Leviticus, which contains a lot of truth. But they got lost, and then they got behind, and then they quit reading, and then they just, it's hodgepodge, trying to find a place to read in the Word of God. All I'm saying is, read the Bible till your heart burns. First of all, talk to the Lord. Secondly, get into the Word of God. And thirdly, look for somebody to help. What do I mean by that? Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. And we're talking here about warming up your own cold, cold heart, okay? Now remember, that's the whole thing tonight. Is it cold in here, or is it just me? Well, a lot of times it's just me. And a lot of times it's just you. But I love this particular portion of Scripture because I was always taught wrong about it. I've taught you right about it, but it fits the sermon tonight. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 24, in verse 20, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I always, when I was younger, I mean, I don't mean as a pastor, but I mean when I was a younger Christian, and say, burn you, buddy. I'll just kill you with kindness, you know. Put some of them hot coals on your heads, what I'm going to do. Boy, was I wrong. That's not even Christian to do something like that. The picture here is of a custom in the New Testament. Sometimes in the cold weather would come, a person's fire would go out in their home. And they didn't have a way to start another fire. So they would go to a neighbor and they would take a bowl that they would carry on their heads. And they would ask their neighbor if they could have some hot coals from their fireplace. And then they would take those hot coals and carry them on a bowl on their head back to their home, put it in their fireplace, and start a fire going. And the Bible says if you feed your enemies and if you give them something to drink, you're warming up their house by giving them hot coals on their head. You're helping someone. And you know, something is good about that for yourself personally, because when you help someone, it warms your heart. It really does. You see, it's not a vengeful thing as the way I always believed when I was growing up. I'll burn you, buddy. I'll put fire on your head. Don't you be messing with me. I'll get even with you. I'll do it. I'll do it. No, it's not it at all. What it was, okay, you're cold. Let me help you. And you heaping hot coals on their head as they carry it back to their place. You see, in order to heap hot coals on someone else, you got to get close to the fire yourself. Hot coals don't jump into the bowl by themselves. You had to shovel them out or scoop them out one way or another and hand them to that individual. One of the main reasons for having a cold heart is, if not the main reason, is a thing called selfishness. We get to having a pity party on ourselves and how everybody else has it better than me and everybody else is blessed more than me and oh, woe is me, and I'm my only prophet left in all of Israel, as the prophet said. And we think, and we get a pity party on ourselves. How sad and how cold and how senseless that is. We get to having a pity party, and our pity should be directed toward others and certainly not ourselves. Now, the good that you do for others overcomes the evil coldness in your own heart. I want you to, for one last scripture, I want you to go, if you would please, to Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12. Because here we're going to see, biblically, the good that you do for others overcomes the evil coldness in your own heart. And it says in Romans 12, beginning in verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. You see, that very sentence right there refutes, burn you, buddy, but I'm going to put hot coals on your head. It's not at all what it was teaching. But here it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See, that's the context. And that's a way to warm your own heart up. Listen, if your heart's right with the Lord, you love helping someone else. You do. You just, it's fulfilling and it's warming of your own heart. All of us have times of spiritual coldness, no matter who we are. And if you have been there yet, if you've not been there yet, you will be. And if you have been there already, you understand what I'm talking about tonight. Your heart, if it's cold right now, and if you've wanted a way out, this is a biblical way out. Gordon Jensen, and I love this song. It's become, over the years, one of my favorite songs. I've quoted it many times. It's amazing how many times this song fits what I'm wanting to get across. I think the first time I heard it was many, many years ago. I think it was in 1979. Well, we were in our very first ministry and we were living at 1106 Chalet Drive, and we were living there, I believe, on the lower apartment. And I heard this song for the first time. And here's all, and I'm only going to quote part of it to you, but all of it's good. It simply says, it wasn't that long ago that my heart was glowing and every new day was a challenge. But Indifference turned me cold, made things stale, made them old. And now I've lost that happy song I used to sing. But then here's the key to the entire song. It says, it seems that I forgot the most important thing. It seems that I forgot the most important thing. It's interesting. You know, when the Bible talks in the book of Revelation about leaving our first love, all of our lives we've heard it preached, where we lost our first love. The Bible doesn't teach you lose it. The Bible says you leave it. We've left our first love. It's a decision that we make sometimes because other things get in the way. But Gordon Jensen said it right. I can hear the song in my head right now being sung. And I remember how it touched my heart the first time. And I thought, Lord, what an incredible truth. I guess I forgot the most important thing, you see. So if this is you and this message is for you, and take it personally and apply it to your heart right now. Talk to the Lord for a while. Read His blessed book and find someone who's hurting in order to help that individual. And it will help make it. It'll help you make it. And it'll warm your old cold heart. It honestly will. Now, these illustrations I've given you tonight are out of the Bible. And they talk about warmth. So I'm not trying to make something up tonight. I'm not trying to find a subject and find a verse that fits it. I'm talking about when they talk to the Lord, it warmed their hearts. You see, when they read the Word of God is like a fire that burns, getting into the Word of God. And lastly, helping someone else. You had to get close to the fire to put hot coals in a bowl and give it to them. You had to get close to the fire yourself. And so that is always helpful. And that's my message for us tonight. I know we're getting ready to go into the summertime, and I realize that, and we're going to have some warm days, and auditorium tonight's just comfortable, nice and cool in here this evening. It really honestly is. But you know, there's going to be days, if you're not careful, and it'll happen to all of us, your heart's going to get cold. And when it does, just remember the things you ought to do. Remember the illustration of the young lady. Remember what I told her to do. I said, go crawl up in your daddy's lap. Just talk to him. That's all. Spend some time. Get into the Word of God and read it. Find somebody that's hurting and help them. No matter how bad you have it, somebody else has it worse than you. You can always help somebody else.